It's 5 minutes past 11, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Breaking free is more than just a story of survival. It is a lesson and a reminder that our past does not define us. I'm really delighted to have on the line a person who I've been able to learn a lot about, particularly in the last couple of months, whose journey during her lifetime has been amazing, challenging, complex, and indeed most inspiring. I'm delighted to have on the line a wonderful person, Azita Abdullahian.
And well done.
Thank you. And it's really delightful to have you. And the first thing I want to say, Azita is a beautiful Arabic word, which is your first name, which...
Jim, it's a Persian name.
A Persian name, which means free, humble, or I looked this up, free, humble, or a person who is noble. And that's my quick summary of your beautiful name. Azita, we're going to go back, and we may be doing this over two parts. So we're going to do one part to find out a lot about you, and then next time we meet, we're going to talk a lot about your organisation and what you're doing there, because that really, the Shining Light Foundation is amazing. But I want our listeners to find out a lot about you on Spotlight today, and we're going to go right back and learn about you growing up. So tell us about you growing up as a young child, your parents and that type of life helped present who you are.
Thank you very much, Jim and Darren, for having me. It's delightful to be at your presence in your radio show. I wrote a book about this, Jim.
You did, and I'm going to talk a lot about that because I've looked at quite a bit. And let me just tell you, and to tell the listeners, it's 176 pages.
It is. And I came to Australia, and it's quite ironic because this week is a refugee week.
Yes.
So firstly, I'd like to acknowledge that. And I also came to Australia as a refugee 21 years ago.
Yes.
And I made this country home. And as you are aware of my life to quite an extent, this is home. So I treat it like home, and I treat the people they are my brother and sister. Doesn't matter I'm from Iran, doesn't matter I'm a refugee, doesn't matter where I come from. This is home, and people are my people. 21 years ago, I came to Australia as a refugee with my ex-husband and two kids from Iran. So I was born and grew up in Iran till age 26. And the life, the government, the politics back then led us to flee the country with my ex-husband and two little kids. Nilufar was 3 months old, and my elder daughter, Nusha, was only 6 years old. We left the country with just one luggage, which it was full with clothes for kids and maybe a couple of pair of, you know, different clothes for ourselves. But it was a tough journey. But my life, it didn't get harder because we become a refugee. My life was harder from the moment I married my ex-husband at the age of 17. Being the woman in Iran also didn't make my life any easier. I lived with oppression, and the pressure is on women by the government and the society. And on top of all of that, a deep roots of that oppression is in the culture, unfortunately. And so you can imagine being a woman living in Iran then married it at the age of 17 with a total stranger through an arranged marriage. Just a few weeks after the wedding, to find out that my husband was quite ill mentally, even though he was a medical doctor. And the pressure started from the minute we got married. I don't know how much of this makes sense for you. It was an arranged marriage. I don't even think you guys can even imagine how that sounds or feels. But those things did happen in Iran and still happening to some extent. There are lots of change. A good change happened in Iran, but it's still happening. So just marrying someone that you never knew or talked to or spent time with. Now I look back, it's a quite strange concept, which it doesn't make sense to me anymore. But yeah, it's then on top of all of that, knowing that this man was abusive as well. And to make it a bit more complex, we actually had to flee Iran and become a refugee to Turkey.
Why that's important, Azita, is that sets the prelude, if you like, or the platform for much that's happened when you arrived in 1999, I think, from memory. You made big decisions to come to Australia and a foreign country, two children, and to start your life. And you tell us your story through print. You go and write a book, and we're going to talk a lot about that. And I want to talk about the difficulties of writing, because once you say something or put it in writing, it becomes public, particularly in this day and age. And the stories and the challenges you took place. You came here, your English was very poor, and you learnt, and I want our listeners to understand the incredible energy and the incredible determination, commitment you have to better yourself. And we're going to talk about that. That's why we're homing in today on you, the person, and the journey you're taking, and in the midst of all of that, continue to reach out and help other people. But we'll talk about that part of it but later. But you say that you learnt your English by watching The Wiggles. Take us through
and
that journey.
And Bananas in Pyjamas.
Oh, and Bananas in Pyjamas. Now, I didn't know that, Azita, but I did know about watching The Wiggles. Tell us about that. I mean, that is incredible.
Well, Jim, when I came to Australia, I couldn't speak English. And my ex-husband was fearful of letting me to go out in case my eyes, start opening up and my heart start opening up and I start wanting more. And he was very right. And he wouldn't allow me to go to learn English through any English classes. That was part of it. And another part was that I was a mother of two small children, especially Niloufar was only 1.5 years old when we came to Australia, because we had to stay in Turkey for about 13 months with United Nations to transfer us to Australia. And being a mother, to me, was the worst thing I could do to my child, is to leave her in childcare with other strangers. And she could understand Farsi, but she couldn't understand English either. So to the role of a mother in Iran and in most of most part of the world is that we have to sacrifice ourselves, and that was so much embedded in my mind that the option of leaving my child in a childcare didn't exist. So I had to sacrifice myself. But that didn't stop me. None of those cultural biases and the pressure and the control of my ex-husband didn't stop me from learning English, because I could just simply sit and watch the kids' program with my children. Start practicing it and learning it. It was after a few times that I watched that and I go, oh, wow, I realized this is a perfect way of learning English with the kids. It was simple. It was quite visual. and I had no problem by learning it. And
Azita, I'm going to ask you this quick question. Who did you like, sure. the Wiggles or the Bananas in Pyjamas? Which one did you really like?
I have to say Bananas in Pyjamas.
Ah, okay.
The B1 and the B2, yeah, they were my favourite. The Wiggles didn't make sense, to be honest. Seeing adults acting like kids, coming from a country like Iran, I was like, what's wrong with these people? But
that's lovely.
It was still educational, so I continue watching it.
Absolutely. Azita, we're going to go to a little break. Play a song, come back and find more about you and your incredible journey. And I want to home right in on your book because in particular, I want to talk about chapter 6.
Okay. Thank you.
Alive 90.5.
Bananas in pyjamas are coming down the stairs. Bananas in pyjamas are pumping down in pairs. Bananas in pyjamas are chasing teddy bears. Cause on Tuesday's day I'll try to catch them unaware.
Really delighted to have on the line Azita Abdullah and Hayan. It's just incredible to how you so beautifully tell your story and how it really has shaped who you are, and that comes through your book. And we're going to go back and talk a little bit about that in a moment. But Azita, there's a very poignant moment in your life where you meet a policewoman.
Yes.
Who changed your life forever. A moment in your life that really took you to another level. Can you tell our listeners about that and how it came about and what it did for you?
Absolutely. Jim, I strongly believe that our words are very, very powerful. So we always have to be absolutely impeccable with the words we use, because we never know the impact of the words. Either the positive impact or negative impact are life-changing.
I agree with that.
So absolutely, after going through a lifelong torture and oppression and all of, you know most of the story, one night, few words changed my life. And those words were coming from a policewoman, which I didn't realize at the time it was those words that changed my life, because the incident at the time, at that night when we called the police because of the domestic violence, The accident, the incident wasn't anything new in my life. I have experienced it for many, many times before that. But when I thought back about that night and why, after 22 years of long journey I had being in prison with my relationship with my ex-husband, which I call it golden cage, that policewoman said few words and that changed my life forever. And believe it or not, that is my mission, to share those few words with the world. I have traveled around the world. I have been invited to women conference empowerment, and I go on every stage I go, I share those words, because I know some people haven't heard it, because at the age of 38, I never heard those words myself. And when she said those words, they start igniting a little fire in my belly, in my soul, which that fire has been raging. And it's the motivation behind everything I'm doing.
If you would be so kind as to share that with our listeners, because it really is defining.
Absolutely. And I hope the listeners actually grab a pen and paper and write it down. And even you, Jim and Darren, if you have a pen and paper handy, write it down, because with writing it, you kind of imprinting it in many different levels in your mind, in your heart, in a piece of paper, and that makes it quite powerful. Those words that I never heard before in my whole life, which that's the sad and scary part, was she told me, Azita, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be respected. And you deserve to be loved. Those words are simple words, right? But I never heard them before. Before, I only heard that I'm a woman, I'm a mother. If I talk about love, it's selfish, so it was a no-no words to talk about, no feeling. If I was talking about respect, it was questioned. What do you mean respect? You have a roof over your head. You have food on your table. What else do you want? If I was talking about happiness, then happiness for a woman and a mother was when your child and your husband is happy, you should be happy. So I never thought about me. I never thought about Azita that deserved all of that. My whole life I was living it to give that to my kids and to my ex-husband, and I didn't even exist. So those words, they're still with me. And I go everywhere and I tell people, and then I ask them to please go and share it with someone else, because I'm sure someone needs to hear this today, that if you are listening, you deserve to be loved, you deserve to be respected, and you deserve to be happy. That's it. That's the period. The interesting part of this is that you cannot love anything and anyone if you don't want that for yourself. And I had to work on myself. I had to go through a long journey of studying mind, behavior, and self-development to understand. Even back then, Jim, I wasn't able to really, really give the love and respect that my kids deserve to have, because I was broken myself. I couldn't be that person to fully love someone else, because I couldn't even love myself. I didn't even know such a thing exists, to be honest. And just practicing it allowed me to now understand the difference between how I love my kids now and how I loved them back then. Back then was more like it was assignment. It was like a chore. An assignment was given to me by my mom, and then it was given to her by her mom. And then it was just I don't know if I can, I can explain what I'm trying to say, but it was more like constructed. It wasn't coming from heart. It had to do with pain.
Azita, we've just about run out of time, and I deliberately wanted to end it at that point. The way you've expressed yourself, the way you've shared your emotions has been outstanding. You deserve to be happy, to be respected, and to be loved. We want you to come back. You have so much to tell us. We want to know about the organisation you're doing, starting uni at 40 to do a psychology degree, which you've just graduated with. You're an amazing person. You're an inspiration. And on behalf of Darren and myself, we're absolutely delighted at 90.5 and Spotlight that you have shared with us part of your story and your journey in getting us to understand not only you, but our own world in which we operate. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thanks, Darren, for having me.
And Azita, if you're available in a fortnight, you can come and help celebrate our first birthday. That would be the 7th of July if you can come into the studio, a bit more preparation. We'd love to have you in and hear more about the Shining Light Foundation and the rest of your story. And thank you so much for those words. And I did write them down.
Yeah, we both did.
Heard me scratching and doing the paper, which we try and hide here when we're on radio. But, yeah, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be respected. You deserve to be loved. Such wonderful words.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you. I will be delighted to join you guys.
Have a wonderful day and continue the great work that we all are asked to make this world a better place. You're an inspiration and thanks for joining us this morning, Azita.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Have a wonderful day.
Have a great morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Live 90.5.